God's word to us this morning comes from the book of Jonah. And we're reading from Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Please keep that Bible reading open in front of you. Today we are beginning a sermon series from this Old Testament book of Jonah. Now if I asked you what comes to your mind when you hear the name Jonah, some of you wouldn't have a clue. You say, "Who's Jonah?" That's okay. But some of you might think of Jonah Hill, the actor. Others might maybe remember Jonah's brothers, the early 2000 boy band. But if you have been a Christian for a while and know your Bible a little bit, no doubt you would say it's about a big fish, isn't it, that swallowed Jonah alive. A few years ago, there was a plumber who came to our house to fix the tap. And when he came to know that I'm a pastor, he asked this question, if I thought whether the story of Jonah was true. I said, "I do." For starters, Jesus referred to Jonah being in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And if Jesus believed, then who am I to dispute that? And Jonah also appears in another place in the Bible, in 2 Kings chapter 14, alongside King Jeroboam. Now, Jonah's story is real. He's a real person with a real message. And if you read through this short book of Jonah, about four chapters, apart from this big fish, there are a few other big things, right? Here in chapter 1, we will look at it a bit later, there is this big call-up for Jonah from God to go and preach a big message of repentance to a big, great city called Nineveh. And there is a big storm. And Jonah prays a big prayer in the belly of the fish. And Jonah preached this message, and when he preached this message to Nineveh, and there's this big change of heart, isn't it? But over and above all these, I think what the author wants us to see in the book of Jonah is a big God. A God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, a God whom humans can't control, humans can't understand, a God who has a big heart, a God who has concern for every man and woman and their cattle. And the book, I think the author is calling us to see this big God and worship him and obey him. And this is what we will explore in the next few weeks as we journey through Jonah. So allow me to pray before we get into chapter 1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity for us to look at this book of Jonah, where you are still speaking to us. So we pray, may we hear you, may we see you, and Lord, may we respond accordingly in a way that brings honor to you. And we ask all these things for your glory in Jesus' name. Now, the story begins with Jonah running away from God, isn't it? Running away from God. As we saw, a message comes from God to Jonah, son of Amittai. And the message is actually a command to Jonah, isn't it? To go to this great city of Nineveh and preach against this. The reason being their wickedness, their evil has come up before God, it says. See, God reveals himself as someone who sees and who notices evil and wickedness of this world. He is aware of the injustices. Nothing goes without his notice. But when this command comes to Jonah, he does something strange, doesn't he? Verse 3, instead of going to Nineveh, he goes and boards a ship that goes the opposite direction to Tarshish. He's off to Spain. It is strange, isn't it? Now, Nineveh was one of the major cities of the Assyrian kingdom in Noah's day. The Assyrians were enemies of the people of God, Israelites. They would invade and burn down their cities, rob them, take away their crops, take away their children, kill and injure people, rape their women. And Israelites hated them. And Jonah's mission from God is to go to these people and expose their wickedness and tell them the bad news that God has seen their wickedness and that he's angry and he's going to punish them. Now, Jonah should have been really happy, right? I mean, because God is going to punish their enemies. But Jonah says, well, no, thank you. I'm going to Tarshish. He's effectively disobeying God, isn't he? And later in chapter 4, he reveals the reason why he decided to disobey God. He saw the possibility of the Ninevites, these wicked people, repenting, turning away from their wickedness and turning to God when they hear this message of judgment. And they knew there was this possibility that God would actually forgive their enemies and spare them. Why? Because Jonah knew God's character, that he is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. He didn't want God to spare their enemies. Jonah disobeyed God not because he didn't know God or believe in God. He disobeys God because he knew God had asked him to do something that he didn't like. I wonder what command of God you are running away from this morning. Is it a call to share the good news of Jesus with someone you don't like? Is Jesus calling you to repent, give up a former belief, and become a follower of Jesus? Is it a command to give up a habit or an ungodly hobby that is keeping you away from Jesus? Is it a call perhaps to stop dating a non-Christian? Is it a call to forgive someone? Is it a call to maybe be generous and serve using your gifts in the church? What is the command that you might be running away from this morning? But did you notice what Jonah did when he didn't want to obey God? Have a look at verse 3 again. It begins and ends thus telling us that Jonah ran or flee from the Lord. You see, the writer doesn't care about whether Jonah goes to Nineveh or not. But he's really concerned about Jonah running away from God. You see, by going to Tarshish, Jonah is not trying to put a distance between Nineveh and himself. No, he's trying to put a distance between himself and the God who is speaking to him. He's trying to put a distance between himself and the place where God would speak to him, probably the temple. That is where in the Old Testament God would reveal himself. God would usually speak in the Old Testament. He must have said to himself, if I stop hearing God, if I can drown God's voice somehow with everything else, if I can go to a place where God can't speak to me, where I don't hear his voice clearly, that would be the best thing, isn't it? I can do whatever I want without feeling guilty. When God's word doesn't match our desires, when God's commands doesn't sit well with us, don't we tend to do like Jonah? And today we hear God's word through his spoken word written down for us in the Bible, isn't it? We hear God's voice when we hear sermons. When we discuss the Bible in a growth group, we might hear it through Christian friends. We might hear it when we are reading the Bible for ourselves. It is in the Bible that we get to know who God is, his identity, our identity, what God's will for us is. And it is here he teaches us about how to live as a Christian. It is here we get corrected, rebuked, training in righteousness for God's glory. A friend of ours, a couple of years ago, told us that she stopped reading the Bible, especially Luke's Gospel, because she felt God was rebuking her. God was telling her to do things that she didn't like doing. She said, I'm not going to read God's Word until I'm ready to listen to God. Here's a question for you to come have a chat with the person next to you. How do we know when people are running away from God? So have a chat to the person next to you. How do we know when people are running away from God? Have a chat. Care to share one or two things that you discussed? Thoughts? Stop talking about God. Yeah, stop associating with other Christians. Yeah. Yeah, changing the subject when you bring up God. Avoid coming to church every Sunday. Unwilling to take up responsibilities. Self-focused. Yeah. We convince ourselves that people who might be kind of affirming what we believe, that they're actually speaking on behalf of God when they're not. Yeah, we sometimes crowd. Yep. Were you going to say something? Becoming afraid to pray. Yeah, those are good things, isn't it? Sometimes we crowd our lives with so many things where we kind of drown the voice of God. We are so busy, we don't have time, we don't have energy to spend time in God's Word. Good, keep chatting. But what does God do when we run away from Him? What does God do when He runs away from Him? He pursues us, doesn't He? Now, a couple of years ago, I think we got tickets to Les Miserables. Did I say it correctly? My French is not that good, so apologies if I didn't say it correctly. Les Miserables. I like saying that. We have never watched it before, so we had tickets for this musical, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. And one of the themes that runs through this story is that this relentless pursuit, isn't it? Jean Valjean is this ex-convict in the 19th century France, and he's relentlessly pursued by this determined police inspector, Javert. And Javert he doesn't believe that criminals can change. So he doesn't give up until he finds Valjean. And he arrests him, and then you can read the rest of the story if you haven't watched it. But here in Jonah chapter 1, Jonah is running away from God as far as possible, as soon as he can. And we see in verses 4 to 10, God is relentlessly pursuing him, isn't he? How does he pursue Jonah? God sends a big storm. The word send here is actually the word for throwing or hurling like a javelin. So God sends this storm. He throws this storm into the ocean. And this big storm is threatening to break up the ship. Imagine a ship in a storm. There's this rocking violently, there's rain falling down, there's lightning and thunder, waves kind of crashing in. Everyone is wet and there's this fear, everyone's screaming. And they're running around, doing everything they could. They're throwing cargo overboard, and as they're doing that, they're doing what every human being would do in a situation like this. Crying out to God. Because they're afraid of dying. In the midst of this chaos, this terror, where's Jonah? He had gone below deck and he's lying down, fast asleep. I don't know how he did that. And the captain finds him. And he goes and he shakes him and says, get up and pray to your God, because probably none of our gods have come through. Maybe your God might be helpful in this situation. We don't hear Jonah praying, do we? How could he? He's running away from his God. And meanwhile, the sailors cast lots. It's kind of a throwing dice to figure out who might be responsible. And the lots fall on Jonah. He is the reason for this storm. Everybody now knows. Verse 8, they ask these very pointed questions from Jonah, don't they? Who are you? What kind of people are you from? What kind of work do you do? Where are you from? What country are you from? And Jonah is kind of singled out, and he confesses his true identity. He has to. That he worships the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. And he also tells them that he's running away from this God. And they ask, like, why would you do that? Why would you run away from this God that you say who created the heavens and the earth, the sea? Why would you do that? And the sailors are obviously terrified. I wonder how Jonah felt. Was he terrified? Embarrassed? Guilty? Angry? In all this, do you see how God is pursuing Jonah with a storm by allowing the captain to somehow find him sleeping soundly in the bottom of the ship and waking him up from this deep sleep, by allowing the lots to fall onto Jonah, and by getting the sailors to ask all these pointed questions? See, God doesn't want Jonah to run away. He pursues him. Not to punish him, but to restore him, because he loves him. If you were at the weekend away, we looked at the story of Peter. We see the same thing, don't we? He has this epic failure when he denied Jesus 3 times just before Jesus went on to the cross. And what does Jesus do? The very first thing he does after he is raised back to life is he's going after Peter. And he restores him back. So is God pursuing you this morning? Maybe you're running away, or maybe you're without even your knowledge. You're drifting away from God, doing your own thing. Disobeying and disregarding God. Perhaps you are caught up in a web of sin. Is there a storm threatening to break up your life? Perhaps God has sent someone to wake you up because you have become too comfortable in your godless lifestyle. Maybe there are situations and or people questioning your identity, your beliefs, your worldview. And God is exposing the deficiency of all that. Perhaps like the lots casted on that day, the dice fell on Jonah. Everything that is happening around you is pointing at you. That you have a problem. That your relationship with God is not right. Or perhaps like the sailors, you have run out of all the options. You have done everything and then your gods have failed you miserably. Is God pursuing you this morning? God pursues us because He loves us. He cares for us because like a sheep without a shepherd, God knows that we can't do life without Him. That we are lost in danger without Him. So like a good shepherd, He leaves the 99 and comes after the one lost sheep. And that's what He did with Jonah. And that's what He does with us. And I'd encourage you this morning this week to take a moment to reflect what is happening in your life these days. What are the storms? What am I hearing from others? What am I hearing? What am I seeing in God's word when I read it? Where am I feeling uneasy? Perhaps God is nudging you, prompting you. How would you respond if He's pursuing you? Back to Jonah. The response. The sea is getting rougher and rougher and wilder. The sailors ask Jonah, what should we do? What should we do to you so that the storm will be calm for us? And Jonah's response is very interesting, isn't it? He says, pick me up and throw me into the sea. And it will be calm. I know that it is because of me that you are in trouble. We might think, good on you, Jonah. You're owning up to your mistakes. You are so noble and you are very sacrificial. That you are going to give your life on behalf of all these sailors. Good on you. But is it what's happening when Jonah says all this? I don't think so. Jonah is so stubborn, isn't he? He's so hard-hearted. He's probably angry, guilty, ashamed. He doesn't want to face God. He doesn't want to pray. He doesn't want to turn to God and say, sorry, I've made a mistake. Forgive me. When he asked them to throw him overboard, he's in effect saying, just kill me. I'd rather die than obeying God's word. Jonah refuses to turn to God and worship Him. But then the other hand, we have this group of sailors. They try very hard, don't they, to save Jonah. They don't want to get rid of him. They don't want to take the responsibility of killing him. So they try to row as fast as can, as hard as can to the shore. But when their efforts fail, they decide to do what? Pray. It was the sailors, not Jonah, who prayed to the God of Jonah. And by throwing Jonah overboard, the sailors are actually obeying God. And as they see Jonah kind of disappear into the storm, immediately they experience God's power, don't they? The raging sea grew calm. Earlier they had heard that Jonah's God is responsible for creating the sea and the dry land. Now they see it, experience it with their own eyes. And at this, we are told the sailors who had previously worshipped false gods become people who worship the true God. And there's a big twist after this in this story. You need to come next week to kind of think about that and find out what happens after this. But at this point in time, what a contrast. What a contrast between how Jonah, a person who has everything he needs to make a choice to worship and obey God, and the sailors who has just seen God's power, how they respond. And I think the writer leaves us at this point with these two choices. When God pursues us, we could respond either by ignoring, disregarding, disobeying, turning away from God and perish, or we could turn to God, trust Him, obey and worship and live life and death. I'm going to give you a moment to make your own choice before God this morning. Is God pursuing you? How are you going to respond this morning? So, Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise once again for this opportunity for us to pause, to remember, and to give thanks. And Lord, we look forward for spending eternity with you, because all this is made possible because you came to us and you made us right with you through Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.